Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Good morning, friends and faithful listeners. This is Jen with the Bible Explained podcast. Today we're going to be talking about hearing God's voice and what you need to look out for if you think you are hearing God's voice. So let's jump into scripture today. This is 1 Samuel 23, verses 1 through 13. We're going to see David hearing God's voice, and then we're going to see Saul thinking he hears God's voice. So we'll be talking about that today. I'm going to be giving an interesting little story about something that happened to me hearing God's voice also. So let's read 1 Samuel 23, 1 through 13 today. And as always, I'll be reading out of the World English Bible version, but make sure to read out of the version that you prefer this morning. David was told, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors." Therefore, David inquired of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I go and strike these Philistines?" Yahweh said to David, "Go strike the Philistines and save Keilah." David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of Yahweh yet again. Yahweh answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and killed them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. When Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, he came down with an ephod in his hand. Saul was told that David had come to Keilah. Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars." Saul summoned all the people to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. David knew that Saul was devising mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Yahweh, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Yahweh, the God of Israel, I beg you, tell your servant." Yahweh said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" Yahweh said, "They will deliver you up." Then David and his men, who were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went wherever they could go. Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, and he gave up going there. As we know, David is still on the run from Saul, and Saul is not really doing his job as the king. Saul kind of went off the deep end, and his only concern right now is finding David and killing David. Saul is not even concerned about his people. In fact, in the last chapter, we read that Saul went and killed over 80 priests, specifically because these priests, actually one priest, had helped David escape from Saul. And Saul was so angry at that one priest that he decided to kill them all. And not to mention, he even had his servant, who was an Edomite, go and kill the city that was associated with the priests, the city of Nog, I believe it was. So now Saul is so concerned about David, he's actually fighting against his own and not even caring about his own people. And this is very evident based upon what we read today. It says in verse 1, David was told, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors." And Keilah was a fortified city in the land of Judah. And as king, it was Saul's responsibility to make sure that his people were safe. But he's clearly doing nothing, because it is told to David that Keilah is in danger, meaning that the people had more faith in David, who was in exile, to save the city of Keilah than they had in Saul, who was the king. So it is told to David that Keilah is in a ton of trouble. The Philistines are coming in, destroying things, killing people, looting all of the food. It says looting the threshing floors, meaning the grain. So David is obviously very concerned about this. His own people are dying. And David, being the warrior that he is, wants to do something to help. So he inquires of God, "Shall I go and strike these Philistines?" And Yahweh answers David. God says, "Go and strike the Philistines and save Keilah." So God is like, "Yes, go do it, David." And that is because David was going to be the next king. God was setting David up in a position of both honor and authority. And since David was going to be the king with all of this authority, it was time for David to start acting like the king, especially if Saul was not acting like the king. God was telling David that it was his responsibility to start saving the people of Israel. So David consults with his men. And David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" So the men are like, "Look, we are terrified just being with you in the fortress that we have because Saul is trying to kill all of us. So we don't want to go down to Keilah and save the city from the Philistines because we also don't want the Philistines as our enemies." So they tell David, "We're terrified. We don't want to go." So David does something very interesting here. He consults Yahweh once again. He asks God, "Hey, should I go to Keilah?" This is very important. If you believe that you have had a message brought to you by God, it is extremely important for you to know that it is from God himself. And the best way to do that is to ask God to confirm that he has told you something. This happened to me once, only time it ever happened to me. And I think this was back in January when this happened. So this was very, very recent. When my husband snores a lot, sometimes I'll go and sleep in the guest bedroom. And it was just one of those nights where my husband was snoring and I didn't want to bother him. So I went to go sleep in the guest bedroom. And so I wake up in the middle of the night and I start shivering. I was so cold. And it was one of those shivers where I could just tell that I had a high fever. And so I'm just like, "Oh man, I hate this. This is awful. Why do I have a fever right now?" And I was freezing. Like I couldn't get enough blankets on myself. So I'm trying to fall asleep, but I could not fall asleep. And I kept thinking, I was like, "What if Garrett is sick in the other room?" And I was like, "Nah, that can't be possible. Like we don't get sick at the same time. Usually it's a few days." And I kept just getting this feeling like I needed to go into our bedroom. And I was just ignoring it. I was like, "I just want to fall asleep. I am sick. I don't want to get up." Because you know how when you have a fever, like a high fever, you do not want to get out of bed because you are freezing already in bed, and getting up to get out of the bed with the cold air is like torturous, right? And I was like, "I do not want to get up." And I just heard as clear as day, "Go into the other bedroom." And I was like, "God, do you really want me to go into the other bedroom? Like, I'm sick. I don't want to get up. I'm very sick. I'm nauseated. I'm going to throw up. I don't want to get up." And I said to God, "If you're actually telling me to go into the other bedroom, please confirm to me that it is you speaking." And what happened next, I will never forget it. I literally saw the words flash across my eyeballs, which said, "Go in the other room." I didn't hear it. I saw it with my eyes, the words. And I was like, "Well, that never happened to me before." And I realized that God was telling me to go into the other bedroom. I get up, I go into the other bedroom, and my husband is so, so sick, like sicker than I was. He was so sick. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" And so immediately, like my nurturing instincts kicked in and I started taking care of my husband, even though I was also sick. Then I lied there next to him and pressed my back against his. And because both of us were feverish, we caused each other to sweat like pigs. And by the time morning rolled around, which was only a few hours later, because all this happened at like 3 a.m, we both had our fevers broken. We were both still sick, but our fevers were broken and we started feeling so much better. By the next day, we were fine. Like we went back to work. We were totally fine. And it was just amazing. And I wonder, had I not gone into the bedroom that night and I would have ignored God's voice, what would have happened? Like, would my husband have gotten sicker just lying there freezing all night? Would I have been sicker because we didn't have that body heat. We didn't sweat out that fever. And it was just truly amazing. And actually, my husband says that it was the day that I saved his life. It really is. That is what he said about that. I helped him that much with that fever. And that was because God spoke to me that night. And I am confident that it was God speaking to me because it was unique. I didn't want to do it. I wouldn't have done it had I not heard that from God and saw those words flash across my eyes. I wouldn't have done it. It was God speaking to me. I needed to go and help my husband. So if you think that God is speaking to you about something, ask him to confirm it somehow, because it is better for you to ask to confirm his voice rather than to think you hear something and to go and do it and it is not God speaking to you at all, because sometimes that can happen. Sometimes people can just get ideas or thoughts in their heads that they think is God speaking to them, and they just act on them and they want to do them, and it just ends up causing somebody a whole bunch of trouble. And it can also make Christianity look very foolish. It is extremely important for you to confirm what God is saying and to know that it is a confirmation from God. And that is what David did here. He consulted God twice. God, should I go to Keilah? And God said, yes, I will give you victory over the Philistines. So David listens to God and goes down to Keilah with all of his men. It says they fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and killed them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. David came and did what Saul would not do. It also says that Abiathar went with David also. And I don't know if Abiathar came along later on, is kind of what it sounds like. Abiathar was the priest, don't forget, that David was taking care of. And it says that when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, he came down with an ephod in his hand. Now, an ephod was the typical clothing that the priests would wear. So it doesn't look like Abiathar was wearing it, but he was carrying it with him when he went to go down to Keilah with David. So now it says in verse 7 that Saul was told that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. So don't forget that Keilah, like I said at the beginning of all this, was like a fortress. In fact, the name Keilah actually means fortress. So this city had walls around it and gates around it is what it sounds like. And so since David went into the city, Saul's like, perfect. He's going to get stuck in that city. It's like a prison in there. God is certainly handing over David to me so I can kill him. Look at the difference between Saul and David. David was confirming that God was speaking to him. And Saul was just deciding that God was speaking to him. Remember how I said that if you think that God is speaking to you and you just act on it, that can make both yourself and Christianity look very foolish? Well, that's exactly what Saul did here. So I was like, God is certainly giving me what I want. And yet God was not giving Saul what he wanted. In fact, God wasn't speaking to Saul at all. Saul was deciding that God was speaking to him. And that's another way that you can tell sometimes when God is speaking to you and when he is not. If you think that God is speaking to you and it is something that you really, really want, there's a high likelihood that God is not actually speaking to you. And that is your own mind speaking to you, because you want the thing and you want God to want you to have the thing. And so your mind is just going to do gobbledygook that God is, in fact, confirming that you should have that thing. Remember my story when I was up in bed, sick. I did not want the thing that God was telling me to go do. I wanted the opposite of the thing, which was to fall asleep in the guest bedroom. So if you think you're hearing God's voice and it's also something that you want to do, there is a high chance that it's not actually God speaking to you, because a lot of times our will and God's will just will not line up. As selfish humans, we are always pushing against God's will. And more often than not, we don't actually want God's will. But Saul thinks that God is giving him everything that he wants. So he decides to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Notice that Saul was not willing to go to Keilah when the Philistines were there, but now he's more than happy to go down to Keilah and fight against the city. And somehow David found out about this. It says in verse 9, David knew that Saul was devising mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And David inquired of Yahweh once again. "O Yahweh, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake." Because Saul was planning to go to war against Keilah because David was there. David says to God, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down here as your servant has heard? Yahweh, the God of Israel, I beg you, tell your servant." And the reason David asked for the ephod was because the ephod had little pockets in it, if I'm remembering correctly, which held two stones, the Urim and the Thummim. Okay. And that was how the Israelites would communicate with God. They would try to pull a stone out of the pocket of the ephod. And if the stone was black, it would mean yes or no or whatever else. That was how the Israelites communicated with God. And that was why David asked for the ephod. So David asks these questions of God, and Yahweh responds, "He will come down." Then David asks once again. He inquires of God again. David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And Yahweh said, "They will deliver you up." So David, instead of staying in Keilah, which is very possible what David wanted to do, maybe David was sick and tired of this and wanted to fight against Saul. Instead of doing that, though, and putting the entire city of Keilah that he just saved into danger against Saul, David leaves. He leaves with his 600 men, is what it says. It looks like he got a few more recruits, and he goes into the wilderness. They went wherever they could go to get away from Saul. And like I said, I can imagine this is not what David wanted to do. Just as David didn't really seem like he wanted to go to Keilah in the first place, now it kind of seems like he doesn't really want to leave Keilah also. He wants to stay there, possibly being in a fortified city. Maybe David thought that was the best place for him because he just saved the city. And maybe the city would welcome him with open arms and he'd be able to live there in comfort with his 600 men. But unfortunately, that was not what was going to happen. The city of Keilah was going to betray David when Saul came against the city. David is still having a very rough go at things. And it seems as if Saul, probably in David's mind, is winning because Saul is still living in comfort in his palace. He's not working really as the king. He's not saving Israel. He's not really doing anything. And I can imagine David is wondering what God is doing at this time. Once again, David has to go into the wilderness without any comforts and live as a fugitive of Israel. Fave listeners, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Friday. And don't forget to check out the website because the blogs are now going to line up with what is going on in the podcast. So there's going to be a lot more detail given in the blogs because, you know, these episodes are only 20 minutes long. And honestly, each episode could probably be like 3 or 4 hours long. And I still wouldn't be able to talk about every single detail of what's going on in each passage. So the blogs are going to be more supplemental information for you guys if you want to do a little bit more of a deep dive into some of the passages we are talking about on this podcast. You are going to see it listed in the description of this episode. Go over there, find the little subscription box at the very bottom of the page, and subscribe to the emails, or there's going to be a little pop-up that comes up with a funny picture of a bandit that you can subscribe to the emails there as well. All right, guys, I will see you all in the next episode on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend. Happy listening, and God bless.